I see Sean back there, no plowing this winter. Back to the pinto beans and cornbread, brother. Sorry about that. It's going to be one of those years, gentlemen. Thankful for God's people in God's house. Virginia, how'd you make out this week, okay?
Well, my daughter-in-law went home because my son has off tomorrow.
Okay. That's either praise or prayer request. I'm not sure. I'm not going to go. But it's good to see your smile in here in God's house today. We continue with the story of David. Sooner or later, you're going to think in your mind, you're going to go, wait a minute now, whoa here. I've got one plant down here and I got one plant up there. Okay. Should we put this one down or that one up? I have... Gay, I love these. I've been looking for an apple and a peach on this thing all year long. It hadn't sprouted.
There we go.
Sooner or later, that thing's going to bear fruit, and I'm going to go eating up here. Sooner or later, you're going to... In your mind, you may think, you know, is he just stuck on one subject? Is he going to... I don't know. You'll know when I know. I'm reminded of Dr. Stanton back in Luther Rice College. See a smile from Miss Ruby back there. Miss Ruby and I went to the same college together. I look much different. She looks exactly like she did. Very same hair color during that time. Dr. Stanton. Every time he would teach, no matter what the class subject was, sometime during that class, he would say this phrase. He would say, "And the dewdrop nestles in the rosebud. And the morning sun chased away the darkness of the night. And they ran to the tomb, and the tomb was empty." And no matter what he taught about, no matter what he shared with you, he said, I want you to realize you will have the opportunity to preach Christ crucified, but you will have the joy of preaching Christ resurrection. He said that resurrection is the power that overcomes death. Now, whatever subject he was teaching on really didn't matter. But he would share that with us. And every time I looked forward to hearing that. Because I knew he believed. He believed. He was a prize fighter up in Baltimore in his younger days. I believe Dr. Stan, that time he was, I'm not quite sure. He might have been in his early 70s. I'm not quite sure. But he was stout. And you could tell that he had lived life. And you could understand and feel the joy that he had for what God had done for him in his life. David. If you remember last time we spoke, David made some mistakes. Up to that point, everything had been going good. The killing of Goliath, the leader of a great army. Saul has killed his 1,000, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And thus the jealousy that King Saul had for David. And that jealousy soured the king so much that he tried 6 different times to have David killed. David, who up to that point had been so focused on God, started to change and lose his focus of God. He started to focus on the armies, counting the men. He started to think about how to fix things himself. He started to come up with certain scenarios. Finally, the king, using all of his power, he isolated David. David had gone from the very top to being totally isolated and heading out into the wilderness. There was nowhere that he was welcome. He'd lost his armies. His wife, when King Saul questioned her about David, she lied. She said, "He threatened to take my life if I told you where he was." From that time on, they stayed married, but they lived and slept in different beds. His friend, Jonathan, the closest friend that one could have, he knew they had to stay there with King Saul, his father. Nowhere to go, nowhere to turn, no one to turn to. David goes in to the wilderness. He decides to take a trip. It says into the land of Gath. For those of you scholars, you may know this is the hometown of Goliath. He is going right into the enemy. The land of giants. He's a lamb in a den of wolves. And he comes up with some preposterous idea that he will fake insanity to be allowed to stay in the city. As he comes in, the ruler of that city says, "This is not David, the one who they sing and dance about killing his tens of thousands. Why is he here in our city?" David feigns insanity, goes wild, scratches on doors, scratches on the ground. Finally, the king says, "You know, I have enough madmen around me. I don't need one more. Out." Now, some of you look like, how could that happen? How absurd is that? Well, I'll tell you, friends, we've all been in places we shouldn't have been. And we've all acted pretty foolish at certain times in our lives. Sadly, some of us weren't faking it, as David did. But I think we should learn from David, because here's what he then decided to do. I'm going to turn to Samuel. Twenty-second chapter. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. This is important. He decides to go to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Then I want you to listen to the second verse. This is important. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Heavenly Father, I had a special blessing under the reading of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Who came to see him? I know when things are going difficult in my life, I know a lot of people say, leave me alone. There are people out there, when they get sick, they do not take the Charlie Wood advice. When they get sick, they say, I'm sick, I feel bad, I look terrible, I don't want anybody to come see me. I'm not like that. When I'm sick, I want you to make over me. Oh, you're going to get better. Oh, it's going to be okay. Oh, soup? Sure, I'd love some soup. Oh, I don't know if I... Yes, you'll make it. I don't know. It's difficult. When I'm sick, I milk it, friend. I love compassion. King Saul drove David out in the wilderness with no one. But then God led him to the cave of Adullam. And then this is what happened. Everyone who was in distress, in debt, discontented, they all went to the cave with him. Isn't that a gang? You think, wow, why did God do that? If you were making up your mind and you're going to make a big decision, you want to have a big group that you're going to get together, you want to enlist the finest, the strongest, the wealthiest. People that have the wherewithal, the in crowd. That's who you want to be with. That's who you want to gather around you. But God, no. He sent him the dregs of the land. Everyone in debt, discontented. All those that had an issue, had a problem, God sent to be with David in that cave. And what happened? God allowed David to find his focus and his strength in that cave. He allowed him to once again start to fix his gaze upon the one who'd given him victory over the giant, the one who'd brought him out of the fields to play for the king. The one who'd put him in charge of armies, who overcame every adversary for the glory of God. God took all those in distress, brought them together, and together they formed an army. It says in the book of First Chronicles, it says, an army likened to the army of God. This army in the cave. In the book of Psalms, the greatest psalms ever written were those who were written at a time when David found refuge in the cave. That word refuge, if you look it up in the Psalms, you'll find it over 45 times. It's a place of comfort. It's a place that simply you need to get back with God. And here's who he sent. Over in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 26. And I've got it. I also have it in the Message version. And I want to read it for you. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 28. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. Who's speaking here? The Apostle Paul, talking to believers. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you were called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. It says in that old King James Version, the foolishness. God will use the foolishness to impress those people who believe and think they are wise. God allows David to get together in the cave of the losers. Then what does he do? He allows the focus to go to God. He allows them to become strong. He allows them to depend upon each other. It said one time, you don't really know that God is all you need until God is all you have. You don't really know that God is all you need until God is all you have. And that's what happened to David. He went into this cave. God chose to send to him the individuals that we would not pick out. But through the sharing of the sorrow and discontent, they found strength in their faith in God. And God used this time in the cave, that time in the cave, to find strength, a refuge in Him. They talk about a rock. We sing those songs, "Hide Thou Me." This morning I heard about in the garden. I heard about the great things that God does when we simply focus upon Him. There's so many things in this story about David that relate to us. I really believe it. I believe so many times we've turned and we've looked for different things and we've allowed our focus to sometimes go a little astray. We've acted silly. Amen. But then God, through His wisdom and through His yearning, through His drawing, He wants us to come back to Him and spend time in that cave. He wants us to be with folks that are one no better than the other. People who are broken. People who have skeletons. People who have struggled doing the things that God wants us to do. But then as we gather together, we focus upon Him. We find strength in what He does, not what we do. I asked Jill to sing that song this morning. What a precious friend is He. She did a wonderful job. I even jumped up and sang the last chorus with her to prove how wonderful she did on her own. Because I love that message of what a precious friend is He. People are getting closer to God, folks. People are making decisions. People are saying, you know what? I'm just kind of tired of all these things that I hear and see. Run around trying to be better than the Joneses, the Smiths, the Ryans. We got a piano player coming in a couple weeks that's actually better than Terry. Somebody sent me an email and told me that. I'm looking forward to hearing him. Amen, brother?
Amen.
Amen. We should gather into the house of God to sing praises unto His name. Partake of this communion, saying thank you for what He did upon a cross. And then we should be challenged to share the love of God that He has placed within our hearts towards others. Because I'm going to finish with this. If a person is hurting, and a person is struggling, they most likely are not going to tell you. There's a few. There's a few who come out. First thing you hear from them is how terrible things are. Walk in, light's dim, you know? There's a few like that. But most people, when they're really going through something, they don't want to talk about it. That's when you have to have your spiritual antennae up. You got to be willing to go and just be with them. Don't go with an idea you're going to have a talk. No. Just go with an idea that you're going to be there where God has placed you doing His will. You got to listen sometimes. Amen. Amen for all the listeners. If we didn't have listeners, I'd be standing up here by myself this morning. Think about it. And I believe that is the time that God uses us the most, when we don't have an agenda. When simply God lays it upon your heart. I think I ought to go see such and such. Spend a little time. Just listen. And God will use that time as in the cave. And His glory will come out of that cave. Our hero here, he's making all kind of mistakes. He's doing things. Boy, I can relate to that fellow. But I can also relate to an individual who's simply been touched by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into Your house today. We've sung praises, Heavenly Father. We've offered up thanksgiving in our prayer request. God, we've partaken of communion, thanking You for what You did for us. And God, we've read Your word. God, allow us to apply what we hear, what You place upon our hearts, to our everyday lives. Bring us comfort. Bring us communion with God's people so that we can hopefully fulfill the will that You have for each and every one of us. Now give us safe traveling mercies, God. Be Your will, bring us back again to sing praises unto Your name. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.